Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are here again turning towards life with a source this week chosen by Justin. As always, it's a pure delight to be together, Justin, and to wander into this together and to feel the growing mystery of who listens to us and who decides that they want to be with us. And when we make contact with people who listen, every time it kind of makes my heart jump, and I think, oh, there's a presence of us in the world that I didn't know about. And it seems to be endlessly, I don't know what the word is, like satisfying to me to know that we're being listened to and held in the world as this conversation, this very particular conversation. And I'm really, 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 really grateful for that because I don't think should be taken for granted that we're doing this, or that it gets received, or it matters to people. I feel really like it's a very, very precious thing. And so I want to tell everybody in this episode how grateful I am that they're here. And also, Justin, you, that you're here and that I'm here and we get to do this. And to everyone who enables this to happen for us as well. Feeling a rush of gratitude for that. And thank you for always choosing these wonderful sources, Justin, that I would never have chosen, kind of thing. Although I have read this incredible book, Undefended Love, that you've brought this source from. It's not one of my talents to pick out passages from huge big books, and it's one of yours. So I'm really grateful for that and that we get to talk about this together today.
Sizzy. Well, hello to you and welcome to everyone. I always feel such a thrill as we begin this, launching into another who knows what conversation, but also feeling this great circles upon circles of people around us. So thank you everyone for being circles upon circles of people around us and for keeping on listening or for listening occasionally, for joining us, for staying with us, for going away and coming back, all the things that we know people do. And for bringing new people to this as well. So you're very, very welcome to tell other people about this. A couple of ways you can do it: point them towards the podcast, towards the turningtowards.life website. Leave us a review. We haven't had a review on Apple Podcasts for over a year, and it's so fantastic when people do that. So if you're listening that way and you want to quickly leave us a review, that would be wonderful. That really helps people find out about this. But mostly, as I always say, Lizzie, to you, the most important thing is actually that this reaches whoever of us and whoever of you are listening, even if nobody else came. There's something very important here to do together, so I'm very glad to do. And this source is from a book by Jett Saris and Marlena Lyons, which is called Undefended Love, which, as you say rightly, Lizzie, is a really marvelous book. And it's one of those books that I think it's ostensibly about relationships, which of course means all of us always, because we're always in relationship with other people. But as we'll see from reading this, it's also about all of us always, whatever and whoever we're in the midst of. So you can always find the source on turningtowards.life in our Facebook group, which is a great place to come. Search us out, Turning Towards Life on Facebook. You're very welcome to come and join us there, and in all the notes that go with the podcasts. And we're calling this one Holding Our Personality Lightly. Early in life, we all experience emotional states we cannot tolerate. Being left alone, interaction with an anxious or depressed parent, etc. And in response, we begin to build shields of protective armor around our essence. These defense structures constitute our personality. Doing their job well, they continue to guard our vulnerability, but they also prevent the intimate contact we long for. What we routinely identify as ourselves is actually this personality, a construct, an idea, or self-image that hides the part of us that is vulnerable and capable of unmediated connection. This mask plays a crucial role in our lives. It is likely that we could not have survived without it, but we are so much more than this learned self-concept. Knowing ourselves solely as our personality limits us severely. When we delve into the truth of our personality, we begin to see how our daily struggles in relationship result from our inclination to defend this assumed identity. Before we can have direct, unmediated contact with ourselves or with a significant other, we must take the necessary step of unmasking our personality. In this process, we do not give up the personality entirely, but rather learn to wear it more lightly.
Thank you, Justin. Holding our personality lightly. Early in life, we all experience emotional states we cannot tolerate, being left alone, interaction with an anxious or depressed parent, etc. And in response, we begin to build shields of protective armor around our essence. These defense structures constitute our personality. Doing their job well, they continue to guard our vulnerability, but they also prevent the intimate contact we long for. What we routinely identify as ourselves is actually this personality, a construct, an idea, or self-image that hides the part of us that is vulnerable and capable of unmediated connection. This mask plays a crucial role in our lives. It is likely that we could not have survived without it. But we are so much more than this learned self-concept. Knowing ourselves solely as our personality limits us severely. When we delve into the truth of our personality, we begin to see how our daily struggles in relationship result from our inclination to defend this assumed identity. Before we can have direct, unmediated contact with ourselves or with a significant other, we must take the necessary step of unmasking our personality. In this process, we do not give up the personality entirely, but rather learn to wear it more lightly.
To see. I was thinking as you were reading the last part what it might even mean to unmask our personality or to hold it lightly. And it was starting to occur to me that one of the real challenges and opportunities with this way that Jett and Marlena are writing is that what they're saying is that there's something about us that we wear that we really easily take to be ourselves, like this is me. And then there's something deeper that is much more truly us, like a sort of a truer self and a presented self, or a protective self and an essential self. And was thinking about me. I was thinking about how much and for how much of my own life a pattern of going along with people, having people feel comfortable, being agreeable, making sure nobody ever got upset or shocked or troubled, would have been, first of all, the way that I described myself, like things that I held to be the most, that's who I am and that's what I do. That's the first thing, like really, like, yes, this is me, that's fantastic. And there are some gifts in there for sure. And also, sort of more secretly, feeling that if I ever had to give up doing any of those things, or if I was ever challenged on those things, that I would be in deep, deep, deep trouble and deep, deep danger, which is where the clue is to what the thing is. And it's sort of in a way, it's easy to read what they're writing here. Like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. There were defensive, protective armoring started in me when I was very early, and it was born inevitably of the family and places I was in, and I carried it all my life, and yeah, I should wear it lightly. But I think the truth is very often that exactly that we've mistaken it for ourselves, we hold on to very, very strongly because, first of all, we feel like it's me, and second of all, it feels incredibly risky to let go of it. So for me, for years and years and years, and clearly still now, the idea that I would disagree with anyone was absolutely terrifying, because it would have both parts of I'm not a person who disagrees with other people. That's part A. So if I'm disagreeing with someone, I'm not being myself. And part B, it's terrifying and dangerous to disagree with people because somehow it's going to leave me vulnerable and deeply, deeply at risk. So I've got every reason to hold on to both, to this pattern very, 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 very tightly. And with that particular pattern with me, and I'm so with what they say here, before we can have direct, unmediated contact with ourselves or with someone else, we have to begin to undo this. We have to begin to see through it and see it for the pattern that it is. And the truth has been for me that being agreeable, sometimes it's lovely. It's lovely to be around agreeable people some of the time. But when there's real stuff at stake, when things really matter, when I care about you enough to want to be honest with you and be different from you and be in the to and fro of being really contactful about what matters to us, I have to wear this agreeableness as lightly as I can, because boy, does it get in the way of realness and intimacy and contact. I'm quite aware that for me, it would be easy, and I'm really committed to not doing this, it would be easy to live my whole life sort of in the aura of that personality structure, feeling in some way like everything was fine, and yet I'm just 100,000 miles away from everyone in reality. And so it seems to me that it's life-saving, actually, to start to work with our personality structures, to see through them enough, to name them, to begin to let them go, and that the consequence of not doing that is that we live at some kind of great remove from ourselves and from our lives. And then I feel very tender towards all of us because we're all going to make a personality, because when we made it, we were too tiny to deal with all of this stuff. And then we've all got a lot of work to do. And it's both joyful and terrifying.
Yeah, I'm, as you're talking, Justin, somehow the parts, I'm making contact with the parts of me that are, I guess, these shards of my personality, and how remembering and feeling presently, how wearing them lightly sometimes feels so frightening. I can feel that in me, to not be the person that has had this attribute as a mechanism for protection, to feel how hard that is to put that to the side, and how tender it is, as you're saying, to be doing that work, but also how much liberation is possible. How much more possibility opens up when those things can find a way of softening or melting in some way. And I also know that in the times when these meltings have happened, it's not like a little event has gone on and I've gone, oh, look, there we go, my personality is just slightly dissolved. I've been like a complete mess of pain and crying and snot and undoneness, that there's a process to this. There's a process to the undoing, to the putting things down, to becoming able to wear something lightly that feels like a big kind of letting go, which has relief inside of it because there's so much holding on. But that in the letting go, there's a lot of grief and trust necessary in order for that to become okay. And of course, then those things don't just go away. The parts of me that feel like if we're not all joyful around here, then there's something horribly wrong. That's so much less. I mean, I wear that lightly, but it's still here. I wear it lightly, it's not a demand that I have anymore, which it used to be. Which is like, if you're miserable, don't come anywhere near me because I don't want anything to do with that. And I remember that so clearly being a part of my kind of requirements of relationship. And that has really dramatically changed over the years. But it still comes alive when I don't feel safe or I feel like things are getting wildly out of hand. I notice it comes forth again, and I understand it and I have awareness of it, so I do my best to soften inside that dynamic and not make it into demand that we're all okay or we're all happy or something. But it's still around. It really is. It's like a little mechanism that comes back online when things feel too much for me, or I feel like this is well beyond us. We just need to stop this now. When a process is really big, or there's a lot of grief, or something's just too hard or too complex, that's where I go. And I'm grateful to be able to see it and to also see, and this is like part of the painful bit, I think, in the context of this work in the relationship, to be able to see the pain it creates for other people when I demand that they be something that they're not in order for me to be okay. Like, I would never intend that. I would never intend for you to feel like you can't be who you are and how you're being right now. But when I'm in that mode, my intention is not fulfilled. My intention for you to be whoever you are in the moment isn't fulfilled. It's a part of me that says, come on, snap out of it. We're not going to dangle in here any longer. This is ridiculous. We can't be miserable our whole lives. Let's pick ourselves up. And of course, like you said, there's gift in that too, because there is a time sometimes for finding joy right next to sadness or grief or whatever at the same time. But it needs to be a discernment rather than a demand or a snap reaction to what's happening. So I think that's what this really brings up for me, Justin, is that it allows there to be some discernment rather than as like I'm going to have some awareness about what could happen right now, and I'm going to make some choices about what I bring about. Is very different to me just being in habitual reactiveness from that personality that Jet and Marlena are talking about, that doesn't have any consciousness around it, that doesn't have any awareness, and which takes over and starts running the show because essentially we're just not feeling okay. And then our safety mechanisms and our protective mechanisms kick back in again.
I think this sense, Lizzie, that the protective mechanisms of our personality structures were built when we were very little and too little to have the resourcefulness to do anything different to what we did is really helpful to see that there would have been good reasons for you why tilting towards joy was important, and there were good reasons for me why tilting towards having people feel safe, harmony, okayness, people being okay, was important, and that there's a real adaptive wisdom in the growth of our personality structures. And I think they say this in here that we really couldn't have survived without doing that. When we're very, very little and very, very vulnerable, isn't it excellent that we humans are adaptive enough that we can mold ourselves to the circumstances so we can take care of ourselves as best we can in the middle of that? And then the trouble is when we forget that that's a pattern and not actually me, that there's something much, much bigger and deeper and wider and with way more capacity than those reactive structures have. That's the, I think, is the forgetfulness that we get into. And so then when our personality structures are under threat, we feel under threat. And I was thinking whilst you were talking about all the times, the things that I've really had to learn to do to be married to someone is to start to see, and it took me well into my 20s to see this. Oh, when I'm feeling under attack, criticized, and I shut down because shutting down, it's better to shut down to maintain harmony than it is to come back and say, here's how I disagree and here's how I really feel about it, which was my pattern. When my personality pattern, all those protective parts of me act in that way, It may have been okay when I was 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10, but in an adult relationship, all that happens is it pulls me further away from the person I most care about when what I need to be is available and in contact with. And it's a really like paradoxical space, because what's happening in me is a well-worn mechanism, sort of reactivity to keep things safe, which is actually not keeping things safe. So then, in order to work with it, I actually have to go towards what feels risky and dangerous and unknown and uncomfortable. So for me, it's been, oh, I really need to own my part in things. I need to say how I feel. I need to not run when I'm feeling criticized. I need to stay right here. And in order to do that, I have to find in me this essential self, which is much, much more courageous and much more loving and much more willing to stay than any of my protective personality structures are. I can't just peel back my personality without also finding a really, really, really deep kind of goodness and capacity in me. Because if I was just my personality, I'd be getting smashed to smithereens. But I'm not actually being smashed to smithereens because the person I'm married to disagrees with me or is annoyed that I did or didn't do something. I'm not. It feels that way, but that's because that's how the frightened protector parts of me that started protecting me when I was very little feel. But one of the real gifts here is that sometimes the route to finding our own capacity is to start to see that what we've built in our personality structures is actually a version of a really, really deep kind of essential gift that we have. Like, I am really, really good at creating safety and ground in the midst of conflict and disagreement. I can have people feel safe around me, and it can be a genuine safety when it comes from my essentialness rather than a kind of flaky, flighty, oppressive kind of safety that comes from personality. And you, I know, are someone who, around whom it's possible to feel really, really deep kinds of hope right in the middle of proper difficulty, which is the deeper version of feeling, joyful and happy in the midst of something that might otherwise have grief in. And I'm saying all of this because it's so helpful for us to know that the very thing that gets us in trouble is just an echo of a much, much deeper thing that can be proper rescue for us. And it's such a useful path to go down, is to identify the connection between the two. And now I'm much more able to go, I can call on my own. Well, I'm about this week to have a what I think is going to be a really, really difficult conversation with someone that's planned and in the diary. And I w used to, I would have run from it in the past and felt terrified. And now I know that there's something in me that is really, really, really deeply safe in that situation. And isn't that, it seems to me it's extraordinary that they're just sort of mirrors of one another in a way.
So struck, Justin, by firstly our essentialness always being mirrored in our personality. Like they're not separate really. So you can always find your essence inside all of your distortions. Like that's just always true. And also this thing you said about, I think this is just a different way of saying what you said, which is that the thing that made me safe when I was little is a thing that makes me completely unsafe in the relationship that I'm currently in now if I just employ that. So if I keep using the same thing as I did when I was little to feel safe in the family system that I grew up in, that's what creates the unsafety now. So I have to do the work. I think the language here is we must. This is something we must take the necessary step of unmasking our personality. I'm feeling the mustness, the requirement to identify the parts of me that are fearful, protective, young, and be in relationship with them in a healthy way. Because only then can I create safety for myself and others around me in this context of my life as an adult now. Because employing the tactics of a 5-year-old or an 8-year-old here creates unsafety. And I feel like that's kind of glaring at me as a really beautiful, important thing to hold, which is that I have to relearn what makes safety. I have to relearn that my vulnerability and my openness and my contact with my essential self is what's going to make safety, not the things that I learned when I was little create safety. And this also has to inform me doing my work on the inside of me and feeling into my personality and what my defensiveness is and what the ways I try and control everything. And if I'm onto all of that and I'm working with it, the my children don't have to create the same things as I did. Maybe they'll create different things, hopefully less need for creating all of those things in some way. And my work feels really important in that way, because then I'm not just inflicting my same old fearful childhood patterns onto my children, but that I'm in contact more with my essence. And that's a safer, much safer place. My vulnerability is a safer place than my reactivity for them. For me to feel essential and good around my children is a very different way of living than feeling defensive and controlling and protective and crunched up around them, so that they don't have to create coping mechanisms around me, but they can be their unmasked self as much as they possibly can, given that I'm imperfect and also can never not be messed up at the same time. But there is work to be done, and there are possibilities.
What you're saying also reminds me that one way into this kind of inquiry, one way into this unmasking, is to notice that our essential selves are really adult. In fact, they're beyond adult in a way. When we're in contact with that in us, there's a sense of the sort of timelessness and the courage and depth and spaciousness and care and love and patience. There's a whole load of qualities that come when we start to get in contact with our essentialness. And our personality patterns, when they're in reactive mode, feel more childlike. And it's one way to start to discern what's going on in us, because sometimes it can be really hard to, like, how do I even begin to tease out what's what in myself? Well, one way is what age does this something that is coming from me, how old does that something seem? I don't mean old like it's been with me 100 years. I mean old like, oh, this feels like 6-year-old Justin, or this feels like 8-year-old Justin, or this feels like 2-year-old Justin. And actually, in me, it's not so hard to tell. If I bring my attention that way, I can feel, oh, this is a something in me that really has been here and is sort of unchanged over a long, long period of time. It doesn't have grown-up intelligence to it. It's got a ton of fear and a ton of need and a ton of, oh, that's really helpful. And I, for sure, I don't always catch it in the moment, but it does give me a way to begin to distinguish what's what when things are going on, and then also to love the little ones in myself. So the other thing is that I think is really important to say is, I don't think, this is maybe just my view, I don't think that smashing up our personalities as if they were terrible things is ever a good idea. I think lovingly cherishing them, taking care of them, and supporting them so that they can lighten up and soften, use this word soften, is a much better way. Let me hold my personality, all of that protectiveness, softly and lightly, and also recognize it's been filled with gifts and really taking care of me over time. If I'm not smashing it up and nobody else needs to smash it up, then it can take up its place in me alongside something much, much deeper.
Justin, it's reminding me when I was younger, we've talked about before, there are places to kind of look back in our lives and feel what we were going to get up to already, kind of thing. Like to feel what our enthusiasm dreams were through our play or things that we were interested in when we were little or something. I can remember really sincerely thinking, I'm looking at all of these grown-ups around here and nothing is cool about this. I don't want to be a grown-up because everyone is worried, stressed, ruined in some way, cross, defensive. Like, they were, I couldn't find an adult that I thought, oh, adulthood looks cool. And I feel like this, just in this conversation, I'm seeing that having that thought then was like a little pointer to the thing that I'm most interested in, which is being an adult that is in touch with their essence. Being an adult who can play, being an adult who can be joyful, being an adult who can find freedom in themselves, being an adult who can not shut everything down just to make everything okay the whole time, being an adult who can be open to people's views, being an adult who can be accepting of difference, being an adult who isn't trying to corral everybody into one way of doing things the whole time, being an adult who doesn't blame everything on everyone else for whatever they're going through. Like, that was such a clear thing as I look back. And now here we are, and I'm seeing the link between that younger me and this one now, that there was something I always knew, something I knew already, which is kind of inside of that question, which is that it is possible to live a life as an adult that isn't completely hampered and twisted by the world that we live in. And then this is our work. This is the thing that's most important to us. I'm really grateful to see that and to know that that's all there. Like you're saying, everything is and everything else. So inside of that questioning and that probably some created some distortion in me to kind of rebel against so much of adulthood and seriousness and all that kind of thing. Inside of that is also the gift of when it came along that I could have these conversations and be a person who is alive and has a sense of humor and can play with my children fully and not try and control everything all the time. That was already important to me when I was a child to be that as an adult. And then here we are in that work of trying to be someone who's not grabbing hold of everything and wringing it to death with my own requirements, but actually being open to life and being wide-eyed and knowing my own innocence and working on all my defenses so that I can be undefended, like these wonderful people are inviting us into in loving people.
Fabulous place to end, as I'm going to take later your list of being an adult who that you just gave us, 15 different things, and write them down, because I think firstly it's so important for all of us, any of us who want to be adults in the world, to be adults who. I also think it's an articulation of what our work is. How come we're doing what we're doing is to support us all in being adults who, all of those things. And then also, I've just learned something from you that will really stay with me as we end this conversation, which is the link that you made between there's a way in which when we're still children, we look at the adult world and we go, I don't think I want to be an adult because this list, which will be different for each of us. So my one would be something like, don't think I want to be an adult because everyone seems so afraid all the time, is also the key to our way of being adults that is there, because we've learned, just like you just said, being an adult who is able to be right in the thick of things without demanding that it's always joyful and happy, but at the same time really holding joy really close in the midst of the realness of things. And then for me, it's something like being an adult who is able to be safe and create safety in the midst of trauma and grief and disagreement and difficulty and sadness, whatever. There's a key for each of us to see the thing that we were wanting to avoid, and knowing that it's probably our gift. Actually, that's where our work is for each of us, is a really lovely, lovely language, sort of particular personal way into what might otherwise seem like quite an abstract question. It's ours, intimate and close in for each of us. So that's wonderful. Thank you. So what a joy to do this. I learn so much from being in these conversations. This practice, I know it's helpful to many others, but what's going on for me, because I'm get to do this with you, Lizzie, is that I'm changing each week as we do this. So thank you very much for being in the realness of conversation together and showing up again and again and again. And thank you everyone for being with us. If you head over towards turningtowards.life, where all the videos are, you can get us by email in your inbox if that suits you. You can support us by buying us a coffee, which is always wonderful, joyful thing for us to receive. Or you can just keep coming and listening and sharing and learning alongside us. We're very glad that you do that. And that's it. Bye bye, everyone.